Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
First of the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Carrie.
Questions for Ken about the candidates, the campaign, the weekend events. 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828, and you can tweet at Carrie NPR. Ken, of course, specifics still coming in on these bombs that were planted in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan and then around New Jersey and some other areas in New York. Both of the candidates for president have home bases in the New York City area, and they commented pretty quickly. I want you to hear what Donald Trump said. I think this was, let's see, Sunday morning. Let's listen.
Boy, we are living in a time. We better get very tough, folks. We better get very, very tough. Just happened. So we'll find out. But it's a terrible thing that's going on in our world and in our country. And we are going to get tough and smart and vigilant. And we're going to end it. We're going to end it. So we'll see what it is. We'll see what it is.
Donald Trump also this morning, Ken, saying that he thinks New York City police know who these people are and should be tracking them, but they're concerned about profiling. How do you think this is going to figure into the campaign, if you have a sense of that?
Well, I mean, it's terrible to take a tragedy and make it a political event, but that's what happens in politics these days. So I hope everybody understands where I'm coming from on that. But, you know, I looked at social media a lot this morning, and unsurprisingly, there are a lot of people who said, you know, this is another terrorist attack. Of course, that's their words, not the officials' words, but it's a terrorist attack, and only Donald Trump can make us safe. And every time I think of an attack like this, be it in New York or New Jersey or in Minnesota, and then of course, you know, when you hear the name Ahmed Rouhani is a person of interest being sought in New York, then you know Donald Trump's supporters say, well, you know, we told you so. So it becomes uglier, it becomes more xenophobic, as Hillary Clinton said the other day in her deplorable talk, and it just feeds into this kind of narrative.
You know, we just did an hour on trying to understand ISIS, operational versus inspirational, and I closed by asking my guests about whether they are hearing a robust conversation, a serious conversation on the campaign trail from these candidates. One of our guests, Bill Danvers, pointed out that Hillary Clinton has given 5 or 6 speeches on this. I have to say, on counterterrorism, I didn't recall that. I wonder if it's something that you think will now influence a discussion of the upcoming debates, which the first one happens next Monday.
Well, I've thought a lot about that as well. I mean, I kept thinking that the debates are going to be the defining moment in a campaign that is very, very close, not only nationally, but in state-by-state polls. And I was suspecting or thinking that the debates will illuminate, at least give the voters an idea of where the two candidates stand. But not to compare what Matt Lauer did in his Commander-in-Chief forum a week or so ago, but you just wonder if some candidates will have certain talking points and they won't get off it, and they'll just insist that what they're saying is correct. And as hard as Lester Holt or Cooper or Anderson Cooper or Martha Raddatz or Chris Wallace or anybody tries to get them off the talking points and onto reality, I don't know if that will be successful.
Well, I mean, I think it's incumbent on the moderator as much as they can to press hard for details and
You know something?
Yeah.
Let me just interrupt on that, because that is a big controversy in the way people are seeing debates. Remember 4 years ago when Candy Crowley of CNN tried to correct Mitt Romney on a statement regarding Benghazi or terrorism or something like that, and she interjected, and even non-Trump supporters said this is not the role of a moderator. So there's a lot of questions what the role should be. And, of course, we saw Donald Trump the other day saying that Lester Holt, you know, has it in for me. He's prejudiced against me. So I don't know if he's trying to get into Lester Holt's head or make the case in advance that, well, of course he has tough questions because you know, the game is rigged. I mean, and then is Hillary Clinton supposed to stand there and said, yes, you are, no, you're not, yes, you are, no, you're not? It, you know,
This is a really good point, because I think I saw Chris Wallace saying, I'm not supposed to, as a moderator of a debate, I'm not supposed to be a fact checker in the midst of that. Well, but I also think it's, and this is something Matt Lauer didn't do. When Donald Trump said in that forum that he had not supported the Iraq war, when he is on the record as having supported it, isn't it incumbent on Lauer to say, but on a blah, you know, such and such date, you were on with a radio DJ and you said this about the Iraq war?
I mean, Kerry, I agree with you on this, because, I mean, otherwise Hillary Clinton is going to have to spend the whole time just trying to debunk or,
right.
I mean, look at Donald Trump on the birther issue this weekend when he said Hillary Clinton started it and I'm going to finish it. And everybody's saying, Hillary Clinton started it, and now I'm looking at social media, and the Trump campaign is saying this birther stuff is something that the Clinton campaign started 5 years ago, not him, and it was Donald Trump, the courageous Donald Trump, who ended this controversy. And so is Hillary Clinton going to sit there and say, no, I didn't do it, no, I didn't? I mean, it'll just be ridiculous. So I kind of think that while I don't want Bob Schieffer was on my Political Junkie show last week, mm-hmm. and he said that the moderator should not be. He was a moderator of 2004, 2008, and 2012, the final debates all three times. And he said the moderator is not supposed to be the story. It's not about us. And I agree. But if one candidate is just going to make something up, I think it's their role. If you're going to research all the questions you want to ask, you should at least research what the reality is and the facts are and bring that to task as well.
You know, I'm really glad you brought up this birther stuff. I couldn't wait to talk to you about it. It is the stuff that Trump has been saying about this are just, well, they're out and out lies. Let's just say it, Ken. They are.
Lies.
I mean, they are lies when he says that Hillary Clinton started it. They're also lies when he says he hasn't been talking about it for the last 5 years. I want you to hear this. I pulled out an interview that he did with Meredith Vieira from NBC, and listen to the way he puts this about the birth certificate of President Obama.
He doesn't have a birth certificate, or he hasn't shown it. He has what's called a certificate of live birth. That is something that's easy to get. When you want a birth certificate, it's very hard to get.
But it's considered the equivalent.
It's not the equivalent.
In the state of Hawaii, they said they have
Meredith,
seen this document. It is evidence that he was born in the United States. That's good enough for them. Scholars have looked at it.
A birth certificate is not even close. A certificate of live birth is not even signed by anybody. I saw his. I read it very carefully.
It's the most craven, cynical kind of discourse, Ken.
Let me tell you what's also craven and cynical. The fact is, last Thursday, when Donald Trump had an interview with the Washington Post and they asked him, was Barack Obama born in the United States? He says, I'm going to have something to say on it very soon. So he pumps up this amazing interview. All the cable networks cover him for more than a half hour, which turned out to be an infomercial about the Trump Hotel. And all these people who love Donald Trump went on uninterrupted for a half hour. We heard testimonials from people who love Donald Trump, again, just running uninterrupted. And then the last 6 seconds of the thing says, Hillary Clinton started it. I'm finishing it. Good night and good luck. And that was the end of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I hear John. I didn't see this, but I hear John King of CNN said we got played.
They did get played, and I thought the lesson they learned, the media learned throughout the whole primary contest is that, you know, ask some questions. Don't give him unfettered access to just, you know, bloviating what he wants to say. And here we are 50 days before the election, and they're doing it again. It was unbelievable.
Ken Rudin with us. If you have questions for him about the campaign, 651-227-6000. Some of the candidates' issues, 800-242-2828. You can tweet me at Kerry NPR on Twitter. Here's your mystery newsmaker sound of the week, Ken. Listen.
Should he publicly just say to the president once and for all, sorry, I know you were born in Hawaii?
We're just not talking about that issue.
Why
it's not? A four-year-old issue, because it's not what the American people are talking about.
Who is that?
Well, there was some guy pretending to be a journalist named Wolf Blitzer, and I think a lot of people consider him a journalist. I'll have to look that up. But I believe that was Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana, who's the running mate for – I think he's a running mate for vice – somebody told me that Donald Trump is a guy running on his ticket for vice president. I have to look that up as well.
I'm very interested, Ken, in how you're viewing the way Mike Pence is doing this, because I know he has a lot of goodwill on Capitol Hill. He's a pretty straightforward person in his life in Indiana. What the heck? In this role.
Let me say, first of all, look, he's a very, very conservative governor. He is a true believer on conservative principles, which Donald Trump clearly is not. Whatever you think about his politics, he is a good guy. He's a decent guy. He once, when he first ran for Congress, he ran negative campaigns, and he said, that was a big mistake. I'll never do that again. So I think people do like him, but he's in a position, other than releasing his tax returns, which was a surprise because Donald Trump won't do that, and now we know it has nothing to do with the audit, but Mike Pence basically has to go along with basically the campaign line. And if the line is that the birther issue is over and that Hillary Clinton started it, well, that's the Mike Pence's line.
Ken, we have a call here from Kay who wants to know what the bio, what the background is of Kellyanne Conway. So she's probably seeing Kellyanne pop up on some of the Sunday talk shows and cable. She's a longtime pollster and strategist, isn't she?
I've known her for about 20 years, and, you know, she was always, you know, it's amazing to see her front and center on this campaign, on the Trump campaign of all things. She was always a reliably conservative Republican pollster, and of course the media loved her because she was a woman and there were not many female Republican pollsters. So she's not a whack job. I mean, she's a serious pollster, but you know, sometimes I find her defending things that, I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
I am. Okay, I need a
psychiatrist. No. I'm saying, she's defending things that,
I don't know if she believes in it, but she's in this position. She's the campaign chair, and she does everything with a straight face. But I've known her for so many years, I'd love to talk to her when this whole thing is over.
I know. I saw her defending, this was probably a month ago, right after she came on, she was defending some of the things that Trump has said about women. And you could just see the internal battle playing out on her face. I mean, she could not say what I think she wanted to say, or maybe.
Well, you know, we always hear about the Republican officials, the Jeb Bushes, the John Kasichs of the world, the Jeff Flakes of the world, who will tell you what they think. But I know there are so many Republicans who are saying, yes, I support Donald Trump. Maybe John McCain's among them. And we know that behind the fake smile, they know they're going through some agonizing internal torture.
I give John Kasich some credit here, the governor of Ohio. He's in some big battle with Reince Priebus and the GOP party because he won't do what you've just suggested.
Right. He, like many Republicans, are saying, look, in my heart of hearts, I think if Hillary Clinton wins this thing, the last thing we need to give her is a Republican Congress. So he's working for his own state senator, Rob Portman, who's in a tough battle for reelection. And many Republicans are working to retain control of the House and Senate around the country, even if it means giving up any hope of Donald Trump winning. And some Republicans say the worst thing that could happen to the Republican Party is Trump winning. So it's a very odd situation for many longtime party loyalists.
Diana is tweeting, in this election, the media and debate moderators absolutely have the obligation to be truth squatters with the candidates. And then she adds, please, media, hold Trump's feet to the fire for his outrageous lies. How can this be allowed? The public need to know he lies. Ken, I think you ought to take that on.
I agree with Diane completely. And I kind of think that's what precipitated Donald Trump's attacks on Lester Holt last week.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, well, you know, he's really going to be mean to me. He's going to really be over-aggressive and he's not going to be fair. And I'm sure he's trying to give a signal that, well, if I don't do well in the debate, it's because, you know, these guys ganged up on me. But you can't let him. Look, the piece of tape we just heard with Meredith Vieira and Donald Trump, as Meredith Vieira is trying to get the
exactly.
He would interrupt over and over and over, and she couldn't get a word in. So
I mean, but here's the other line I want you to address is what Diane says, the public needs to know he lies. Well, I think half Hillary Clinton supporters believe that. I don't know that Donald Trump's supporters care, and it isn't about the lie. It's about that they dismiss those kinds of things and support him for other reasons.
There's truth in that. Look, I was just at a – I just gave a speech the other day in – was it – I'm trying to remember where I was.
Wherever the heck you were.
It was in St. Louis last week and said, why aren't the media talking about his clear ties with organized crime? He has a history of it. And I said, well, we do know about that. We read about it. And then she said, well, then how come people still support him for president when he's in bed with organized crime, when he gives speeches in Moscow attacking U.S. foreign policy? I mean – talk about Jane Fonda. This is just unbelievable. And yet, you know, the famous quote of Donald Trump, I can walk down the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York and shoot somebody, and I won't lose any support. And I think, as you say, Kerry, I don't think they either feel it's a lie or not a lie. They just don't care.
A call here for you, Ken, from Janet in New Brighton. Hi, Janet. Your question for Ken.
Hi, Ken. I'm hoping that the polls are wrong, that they're contacting people with landlines and not really the population. I know I don't answer the phone if it's from an unknown number. What do you think?
Well, you know something, that used to be a complaint about pollsters for years ago, but that's not the case anymore. The reputable pollsters, and there are quite a few of them, and they're not all terrible, but most of them do reach cell phones. Matter of fact, they will even say in their description of whom they contacted, it will be landline and cell phone. So I think it is close nationally. I think with Gary Johnson, the mayor of Aleppo, and Jill Stein also on the ballot, it's the last CBS poll had a 42-42, and in the key background battleground state. So it is very, very close. And I suspect it'll be very, very close until November 8th.
You really should stop calling Gary Johnson the mayor of Aleppo. That is so unfair, Ken.
Oh, did he? I have to. You know something? A lot of times I have to check my sources.
Yeah, check it on that. Okay, so I have one last question about Florida, given what Janet just asked you. You know, there's been a lot of reporting, and actually, I think Trump's giving a speech in Fort Myers today in Florida. There's been all this coverage about how he has these low numbers with Hispanic voters and how that really ought to give Hillary Clinton an edge, but she's not where probably where she thought she'd be in Florida. I understand she can lose Florida and still win. Trump has to have Florida. Is that your read?
Actually, I think now the key state may be Pennsylvania, because when I did a 50-state survey about a week or so ago, and I have Florida, Ohio, Iowa, Nevada, Arizona, too close to call. And Florida, even if it's too close to call, Hillary Clinton could win it. But if she loses Pennsylvania, then there's something to be worried about if you're a Democrat.
All right. One big last question here for you, Ken. If you faked your own death, where would you go to live? To start anew?
I would say New Jersey.
Good imagination there.
Yeah.
But I won't tell you what exit. We'd find you there, Ken. We'd find you.
No, I'm not dying. We have so much to see. And because I have such optimism for this country, and I said that with a straight face.